First Peter chapter 5, and just two verses to begin with, two verses, 10 and 11. We're thinking tonight of the God of all grace, or total grace. 1 Peter 5, 10, 11. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The God of all grace. That covers everything, doesn't it?
Yes.
The God of all grace. The Apostle Paul began a lot of his letters with the words grace and peace to you. And Peter the same. And also in 2 John. And when Paul wrote to Timothy, he added mercy as well. Grace, mercy, and peace. Notice the order of those three words. Grace, first. Mercy, second. And then peace. They all have an order, don't they? Because God is gracious, he is merciful.
What verse was that, Tom? Sorry.
10.
He gives us this peace and salvation.
Timothy.
So that's what we're going to look at now. So I'd like you, if you go looking into several scriptures as usual, if you will please go back to the book of Exodus, would you? Exodus 33 and 34. Exodus 33 and 34. And we want chapter 33 and verse 7. Chapter 33 and verse 7. And we read through to chapter 4 and verse 10. Bearing in mind 1 Peter chapter 5, as we read, verse 10. But this is how the Lord was showing his grace back in those old days. Exodus 33 from verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, each man stood at his tent door, and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." Notice that. He found grace in his sight, like Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Exodus 33, verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he, thus the Lord, said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to me, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will we know, be known, that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we should be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. verse 18. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will take all my goodness pass by before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Chapter 34, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, cut the tablets of stone, two tablets of stone, like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that you were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you. No, let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. And then Moses rose early in the morning, went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste, bowed his head towards the earth in worship. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, not in any nation. And all the people among whom you shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Well, wasn't the Lord gracious to Moses and to the people of Israel? And he says, I will be gracious to you. And Moses said, if I have found grace in your sight, looking at the God of all grace, total grace. And this isn't this really remarkable when the Lord spoke to him. He said, verse 7 of chapter 34, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin, no means clearing the guilty, and so on. And Moses worshipped the Lord. Notice in verse 6, the Lord passed before him, proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Wow, the God of total grace. So, in other words, what we find here, the Lord's grace was particularly manifest because he was present with Moses. The presence of the Lord was very gracious, Almighty God, and he was so gracious and so patient and long-suffering, not only with Moses, but with all the people of Israel. It said, the Lord descended from heaven to give his presence to Moses. Now, in a sense, that word descended, like the Lord Jesus coming down to this earth as a man to go to the cross. That descending of God here to Mount Sinai, bringing the law, of course, but how gracious of the Lord Jesus as he descended to this earth. In other words, he left heaven's glory, the greatest stoop down in all history, to become a man. What a manifestation of the grace of God that is. Jesus stooped down to become a man. If you like, he bent down to humanity. How gracious What great condescension, it says. This is on God's part, all of his part. All man can do is receive grace. When the Lord Jesus Christ came down, he came down to this earth, which of course was cursed at the fall, back in Genesis. We know that. But here is his plan to bring sinners to salvation, grace, mercy, and peace. And forgiveness. Wonderful. The greatest stoop down in history. Think of Philippians chapter 2, you know well. In chapter 2, I won't read it. But we consider the humility of Jesus. It says he's full of grace and truth in John's Gospel, chapter 1, doesn't it? Full of grace and truth. How true that is. But he came down to the humiliation of the death of the cross. An extreme weakness of the human body, yet without sin, we know. How wonderful. Think of that word, grace. Think of the initials, G-R-A-C-E. God's redeeming activity at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. Wonderful. So Peter, in the letter we read at the beginning, 1 Peter 5:10, he's called the God of all grace. It covers everything. Forgiveness, patience, long-suffering, goodness, righteousness. All given to us. That's a supreme action of the God of all grace. Everything has to begin with grace. His willingness to save us. His willingness to forgive us. Willing to train us. Willing to nourish us. It's all because of grace. This is God's kindness. God is kind. He's good towards those whom he has redeemed. Wonderful. We don't deserve anything, do we? Well, we know that. But God has given us his righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us his righteousness. And that's wonderful, isn't it? He gives his love to us so freely. Can you measure his love? Well, if you look at the cross, his love is great, but I'm sure it's even more than that. And Peter calls him the God of all grace. Jesus is full of grace in his humanity and in his deity. As John 1:14, he's the Lord full of grace and truth, as we know. So he's overflowing in his grace to us. Overflowing, acts of grace, undeserving, often rebellious sinners initially before the saved. And we can learn a very valuable lesson about the grace of God, can't we? Don't you think that? We can learn a very valuable lesson. God is gracious. Total grace, all grace, covers everything. Yeah. As loving, gracious, divine action. And giving more grace, as the hymn says. It brightens our lives, gives us tremendous hope. Grace of God never fails. It's constant, unfailing, wonderful. He looks down on this world of sin and ugliness and rebellion and violence and lawlessness. He looks down on it with all this disease and failings and lies, everything and all this developing today. And he says, I'm willing to give people, when I've saved them, my love, my grace, my covenant, eternal life, unfailing. I will change people's lives so they want to please me. Total grace. That's growing in grace, isn't it? Peter has a lot to say about growing in grace at the end of the second letter. Let's go back to Genesis for a moment. Can we go right back? If you're in Exodus, go right back to Genesis chapter 6. Noah.